This is The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. Earlier this month, Massachusetts General Hospital performed the country's first penis transplant on a patient who had previously suffered from penile cancer. This new surgery brings up a lot of interesting ethical issues. Rather than preserving the current quality of life, people are risking what they have for what they see as better quality of life. So we called up Art Kaplan, a medical ethicist at NYU, to talk more about this. Art, what was this transplant all about?
So this gentleman, a bit older, he had cancer that destroyed his phallus, destroyed his penis, and he had nothing but a stub, so he was having to catheterize himself. He obviously unable to have any kind of sexual activity. He felt that his quality of life was so poor that he was willing to take a transplant. Well, they're experimental. We have seen maybe two of these done in the world. This is the first attempted in the United States. And they have many, many complications. Just to begin, you have to take immunosuppression. Like any transplant, the body attacks the tissue or the organ that you move in there. And so you've got to take drugs to fight that off, which weaken your immune system deliberately. That's so that the immune system doesn't attack the transplant. But they have their own nasty side effects. They can damage other organs. They can shorten your life. So when you're going for quality of life, as this gentleman is, you're doing a trade-off of maybe I live a shorter life, but hopefully I live a better life.
And Art, is this considered an elective surgery? I mean, it's not like a liver or a kidney.
Right. So when your heart is failing or your liver is failing, you're going to die. You don't really have much choice. People desperately hope that they might get an organ. In this case, you've got an experiment. The individual is saying, I could go another day. I could go another week. I can wait for someone to be identified as a donor. So that isn't the limiting factor, although penile donors, who knows whether there'll be a lot of them or a few of them. But you're right. This is a situation where you could say, I'm not going to do this. I changed my mind. I'll just continue on as best I can.
So what kinds of conversations do ethicists need to have regarding these new types of transplant surgeries?
So we have a paper coming out soon in the journal Transplantation where we reviewed penile transplants and talked a lot about what some of the issues are that are unique to this form of surgery. The first kind of conversation is with the donor and the donor family. It's not something that most people think about when they're signing a donor card. They don't think, oh, I might donate my face, I might donate my penis, I might donate my uterus. These are new forms of transplant. So you want to have an extra careful discussion with the family of the deceased because the deceased may not have even thought about this as something they would be willing to do. That means also we may need to change the law to give people more choices, you know, more of a checkbox. I'm okay with my liver. I'm not so good with my uterus. I'm not comfortable donating my face. That probably is going to be a discussion we all have as a society. You don't want to see people being unwilling to be organ donors of livers and hearts because they're not comfortable about the penis and the uterus. In talking to the recipient, well, they have to be ready to say, look, you may get back the ability to urinate, but you might not get back sexual activity. And you're certainly, in this case, not getting back reproductive activity because, you know, we're only transplanting the penis. It's not the genitalia.
And who's covering the costs at this point?
Well, when you see these new forms of surgery, face, hand, uterus, penis, these are things that cost a ton of money because the procurement of the organ involves a lot of people. And the surgery and the follow-up involves a lot of people. We are talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably maybe even millions of dollars. Right now, the costs are being covered by the transplant centers trying to pioneer the procedures. But if the Department of Defense or the Veterans Administration, for example, with respect to penile transplants or genital urinary transplant, if they don't pay for it, if they don't support it, these procedures aren't going to go anywhere. They're too expensive. I don't think insurance is going to pay. They're not going to get into this until they see that it works. So transitioning this from the first, say, 5, 10, 20 procedures to a point where people would say, yes, it does work, that is where the payment obstacle is going to be. And it'll be interesting to see if we can move these procedures forward.
What are surgeons and researchers learning from these new procedures?
Well, these are experiments, the penile transplant, uterus, face, limb, and people do learn. They learn a couple of things. First, they learn about microsurgery, what's going on with the tiny structures that support these organs. We think we understand them, but until you try to wire them back up, put them back together, you don't really fully understand them. So there is progress, and that helps many people because lots of us are going to face reconstructive surgery, not transplants, but those benefits will accrue to repairing a damaged face or repairing a damaged hand. Secondly, you learn a lot about the psychology and emotions. How do people bear up when they have a transplant that is outside their body, that people can see your face? They will see your penis under some circumstances. They're going to know that you have a transplanted hand. Does that work emotionally? How do we help people cope with that? That's an important learning area. And lastly, you learn about immunosuppression. Remember I said it's dangerous and it's nasty, but if you can learn to manage it carefully and use a minimal amount, you might be able to extend that back to things like kidney, liver, and heart transplants. So learning how to manage doses of these powerful drugs that make transplants work, that's a key part of the learning experience too.
Art, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Art Kaplan is the head of the Medical Ethics Department at NYU and a regular guest on our show.